Amen. Thank you. Lovely songs indeed. Putting our hearts in the right place to worship our Lord. Welcome, everyone. It's lovely to see you in this wonderful atmosphere with, goods of the earth. We can see here the decorations, and it's all amazing to know what a wonderful God we have. So you're all welcome in this place where today we're going to remember what an amazing God we have. God, our creator, our provider. And we are all called to be thankful and grateful for everything that God has done in our lives and everything that God has placed in our lives. You know, at harvest today, we remember God's provisions, the fruits of the earth, the crops of the fields, and all the blessings in our lives. And you know, harvest has been always a season of gratitude, a season where we really stop and think of the things that are blessings in our lives and gifts from God. The rain, the soil, the sun, the seeds, the food on our tables. And just to think more widely even, not just of the food and provisions in our personal life, but reflecting more on the wonderful planet that we have. The air we breathe, which is not taxed, by the way, not yet. You know, we have free air to breathe and fresh water, looking at the mountains and the oceans and seeing God's glory in his creation. So today we're going to start reflecting on the wonder of God's creation as the Bible starts with these majestic words, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." It is not by chance, it is not random, it is not chaos, it is order, it is beauty, it is design. And as Genesis unfolds, we learn that there is a rhythm in God's creation. God spoke and things came to be. Day and night, land and sea, plants and trees, sun and moon, the universe as we know it, fish and birds, animals of every kind. At every stage, God looks at what he did and he said, "This is good. This is good." We all know that, for example, a farmer will think, you know, he works hard, he plants the seed in the ground, he waters it, but they know that only God can make things grow, right? Isn't that humbling? You put things in the ground and you don't know what's happening, and you see the results at the harvest. Farmers know that ultimately life is out of their hands. And similarly, we can think of life, the gift of God. Can we imagine just for a moment from two little cells, right? Because we are all adults here. From two little cells that are nothing, so small to begin with. And something starts to happen, a miracle in the mother's womb. From two little cells, come on. How do those cells know at some point one cell says, "Oh, by the way, it's time for me to become a bone." You know, "Oh, by the way, it's time for me to become a brain." What? That is a miracle in itself. Life from God, the life of a baby, the birth of a baby. You know, there was a poster in a Christian medic. I know we have some medics here, people working in NHS. There was a poster in a Christian medic cabinet. And he was saying, "God does the healing, I charge the money." You know, we go to the doctors, we go for surgeries and things. And yes, doctors are working hard. But ultimately, God is our healer. God is our provider. And you all have amazing testimonies from your life that you shared with us. And looking at the planet Earth, just a couple of things to remember. And I'm sure you will know more of amazing way that the Earth is creating. You know, the tilt. The angle of the earth that's spinning through space, it's perfect. Because of that, we have the seasons. And then the atmosphere, the air we breathe, has the perfect combination of gases and oxygen and things to breathe, right, and live. The water cycle as well is perfect for life. The soil contains the right nutrients for plants and trees to grow. And that's why the psalmist declares, in Psalm 104, verse 24, "O Lord, how manifold are your works. In wisdom you have made them. The earth is full of your creatures. We stop and just notice what God has done for us. That's what we celebrate at the harvest. And we do live on a miracle planet. And we realize that when you look at other planets in our solar system, deserted and toxic, you know, through the telescopes that we have. And that's when you stop and think, wow, how awful, you know, is that planet? Although it looks beautiful, but life is not possible. That's when we realize the miracle of our planet. But how often do we really stop and notice and marvel of God's creation? We are so busy with our lives. So the question this morning is, when was the last time when you stopped and really, you know, just admire the sky in the night? Or a flight of a bird? Or the autumn leaves, the colors, the wonderful colors of autumn? Because we are so busy to observe and stop and wonder, to realize that our earth is not ordinary, but it is extraordinary. Amen. God's creation is amazing. So therefore, you know, if God's creation is amazing, we can't stop but think of our responsibility as stewards for what God has entrusted us. Because the Bible goes further and it doesn't just say the creation is wonderful, but also it says the creation is not ours. This earth is not ours. In Psalm 24, verse 1, it says, "The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it." Wow. And we sometimes, very often, live as the world belongs to us. We take, we use, we consume as if we are the owners. But the Bible reminds us that we are not the owners. We are the caretakers. The earth belongs to God. We are tenants on this earth, not owners. And it says there in Genesis chapter 2, verse 15, God put Adam in the garden to work it and take care of it. You know, in Job, he's so pragmatic in the book of Job. He says, "Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I will depart." We take nothing with us when we leave this earth. So we just need to remember it's not our forever home, if you like. And that our first job description was in the Garden of Eden, to take care of this planet. We are caretakers, not exploiters. And take care means to guard, to protect, to preserve. You know, our first call was not only to worship God, but to look and care for the creation. And think of it like this. If you go on a holiday and someone lets you stay in their wonderful house, a mansion, right, with pool, with swimming pool and everything, just as an act of kindness, how would you behave on that holiday? You would look after the house. You will clean the house. You will maintain the house, knowing it's a gift and it's not yours. And can I dare to say we are on holiday on this earth? This is not our not final destination. We are here for a while. But we see people, you know, struggling in life to accumulate, to gather things as if we are here forever. Just remember, today we are here on holiday. And our biblical mandate is to look for God's house, for God's creation. And this is not a modern political idea. I know it's a lot going on in this space. But it is our biblical mandate to look for God's creation. And I know, for example, there are countries with this rule, you know, if you cut a tree, plant two instead. But how many people are doing this? And we are called indeed to look after our planet Earth. Thinking again of what the scripture says about the groaning of creation in Romans chapter 8, the reality is, you know, we see the wonderful creation, the world that God created, but it's not only beautiful, it is also broken. As humanity is broken because of our sinful choices. And the Apostle Paul writes in Romans chapter 8, "For the creation waits in eager expectation for the children of God to be revealed, in hope that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the freedom and glory of the children of God. We know that the whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth, right up to the present time." So the whole creation, says, has been groaning. As we see in our world today, we see this everywhere. Polluted rivers choked with plastic. Forests cut down at alarming rates. Species disappearing. Extreme weather causing, you know, famine and floods. Soil depleted and so on and so on. When we look at the news today, we see this even more. Scientists estimate, for example, some statistics for us. 8 million tons of plastic end up in the ocean every year, with entire islands of floating rubbish drift in the seas. I read an article while preparing for this message saying disposable face masks used during COVID have left a chemical time bomb. Research suggests an estimated of 129 billion of masks were being used every month around the world at the height of the pandemic. With no recycling stream, millions of tons of plastic face masks created to protect people from the spread of the virus are now breaking down, releasing microplastics in the environment. Air polluting in big cities, corporate waste, as we know, huge corporations dump waste in the seas and rivers. These are signs of the creation suffering of the weight of human sin and exploitation. So it's a time for us to pray and reflect and remember. But this is not the end. In the scripture, we see there is hope. In Revelation chapter 21, it says, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. And he who was seated on the throne said, 'Behold, I'm making all things new.'" There is hope that one day everything in this earth, on this earth, will be renewed through God, as we will be renewed as well. But until then, we are called to look and protect the planet, our home, that God has given us. And then as well as looking over the creation and of the planet Earth, and this is for me, by the way, we are called to remember to also look after our bodies. Our bodies, again, a miracle from God, like a factory, right? So many things happening in our bodies. So we are called to look after our bodies as well. Honor the body as God's dwelling place, as it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 to 20. "Do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your bodies." So we need to treat our bodies like a sacred place and to pray, "Lord, help me to use this body for your purposes, to glorify you with my body, with my life." And that means being mindful what we consume. You know, not everything we can eat is good for us. And the food that I also like, you know, so this message is for me as well. Not everything we can eat, drink, or inhale is good for us. And I like this principle in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 23. "I have the right to do anything, but not everything is beneficial." Not everything is beneficial. And again, another statistic, it says in England and Wales, in 2023, there were 5,448 deaths related to the use of drugs. And that is an average of 15 people a day. That is amazing what, you know, lack of care for the gift of our bodies can do. We need to seek healthy food for our lives, to avoid substances that enslave us, and seek God's Spirit to fill our lives and our hearts. As it says in Romans chapter 12, there is a call for us there. "Offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship." And this is our freedom. In our Lord Jesus Christ, there is freedom. And we're not here to judge, and we're not here to point fingers. That's not the heart of Christ. We are here to walk alongside each other. And we all have struggles. We all have weaknesses. We all have failures, and we stumble in different ways. But we all rely on God's mercy that is greater than our failures. So we are here to support, to pray for each other. If people are struggling with health or bad habits, with substances or anything else, you know, we're not here to judge or point fingers again. We are here to support. So please reach out. Ask for prayer. Ask for support. Because in Christ, there is no condemnation. There is only invitation to healing, to restoration, to deliverance from whatever we may be going through. So please bear that in mind. And if you need prayer at the end of the service, please do find me or anyone from the leadership team. We'll be more than happy to pray for you. So now let's think of what can we do? Having said all that about creation, about the gifts of God, what are some of the things we can do? Well, first of all, let's try and be thankful every day. You know, every meal is a miracle. Every cup of water is a gift. So let's not take things for granted, but let's give thanks to God for everything He's done in our life. Reduce waste. Small choices, you know, adds up. And I like this passage when even our Lord Jesus, He really appreciated the leftovers, which I also like leftovers, by the way. So this text resonates with me. In John chapter 6, verse 12, after feeding the thousands, you know, after that amazing miracle, you could have said, yeah, well, we don't care about leftovers. But actually, Lord Jesus says, gather the pieces that are left over. Let nothing be wasted. Wow, I found that fascinating. Lord Jesus, who created that miracle, He says, no, don't let those leftovers be wasted. Let's share them with others. And another statistics. Too many statistics this morning, maybe, but in UK alone, it's estimated that 6.5 million tons of food are wasted every year. Wow, that is a lot. So, you know, sometimes we can think, well, I'm just one person. What difference can I make? And it's this little story with a boy sitting on a seaside, on a shore, on a beach after a storm. There were lots of starfish, thrown on the seashore. And he was trying to save one by one, just throwing them back in the water. And someone, like trying to make fun of him, said, don't bother, you can't save them all. And the little boy said, yeah, but I made the difference to that one. You know, so we can all make a difference too. What else we can do? We can live simply, despite our nowadays culture of consumerism. You know, you need this, you need to buy that, you need this, you need that. It says in 1 Timothy, godliness with contentment is great gain. So let's learn and try to live simply as well. And also, we can be an example for our friends and families by praying for the creation, for those working the land, giving thanks to God for what we have. Walk in the nature, walk with Jesus, praying before a meal. Respect the nature, pick up some litter. And I did that when I came with Matthew from school. I said, I'm going to preach about this on Sunday, so I better grab some litter, you know. But it feels good when you see a plastic bag on your way. And then what else we can do? We can teach the next generation. As we are told in Psalm 78, verse 4, we will not hide. We will tell the next generation the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord, His power and His wonders that He has done. So we are called to teach the younger ones as well of God's creation and of our duty to protect it. So in conclusion for this morning, God has not abandoned His creation. He has not abandoned us. And the Bible ends wonderfully where it begins, with a garden, a river, and a tree, which I found it, again, really encouraging. Revelation gives us a vision of what is to come, of the new earth. There is no more decay, there is no more destruction, as well as for our lives. It says there are no more tears, no more sickness. One day we will see our Lord Jesus Christ as He is, and we will all be transformed. with the sin existing no more. Isn't that a wonderful way to live our lives with that expectation? Things that are coming are unimaginable as the Bible describes them. So as we close, please do remember that everything on this earth, even us, were created for Jesus and through Jesus. Isn't that amazing? In Colossians chapter 1, it says, "For in Jesus all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through him and for him." Amen. You have been created for him and through him. I have been created through him and for him. And we are all invited to live our life to the fullness, seeking his presence in our life, his will in our lives. Because he so wonderfully presents himself as the bread of life and the living water. And we are all invited to eat from this bread, which is the word of God, the Bible, and to live with our Lord Jesus Christ in our hearts on this earth. You see, Jesus' invitation for all of us this harvest. He says, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture says, rivers of living water will flow from within them." Wow. What an amazing call we have for our lives. To live for our Lord Jesus Christ. To push all other things that are holding us aside. And our Lord Jesus will never send us away. His arms are open wide every day for us to come and taste how good he is. What good plans and amazing blessings he has for us. So this is our hope. This is our future. In our Lord Jesus, through our Lord Jesus, with his presence in our lives, we can live on this earth as he intended. Wonderful, fulfilled lives. So bless us, God. So let me just pray before I'll hand over to Julie. Father God, we just want to thank you for the marvel of your creation. We thank you, Lord, for when we stop and think and reflect, we realize how majestic you are. We realize blessings in our lives. We realize your call for our lives, Father, to live peacefully, to live with you in our hearts, as we learned this morning. Everything that exists was created through you and for you. And help us, Lord, here at ABC to realize that. And help us to look after your creation as well. Forgive us when sometimes we don't pay attention and we make our own mistakes. And Father, just forgive us and help us to come back again at that source of our life, of that living water that you promised us. Help us to drink from that water every day. And help that water, Father, your presence in our lives, to help us to shine that light around us through people that we're going to meet during the week and during our lives. We thank you, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. God bless you all, and happy harvest. Let's enjoy. Let's enjoy this day. Amen.